Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. The Fort Myers Film Festival is back for its ninth season. The five-day event kicks off next Wednesday, April 10th, and runs through Sunday. Over the course of the festival, a total of 89 films will be screened at locations throughout the city. The event also includes a red carpet gala, live music performances, filmmaker Q&As, and much, much more. Joining me now for a preview is executive director and founder of the Fort Myers Film Festival, Eric Raddatz. Raddatz also founded the Naples International Film Festival. In addition, he's presentations editor at the Florida Weekly and has previously worked at Gulf Shore Life and at the News Press, gigs which garnered him multiple awards. He also hosts, along with Melissa DeHaven, the indie film series TGIM at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Arts Center in downtown Fort Myers, where he serves as a curator. And he's a familiar face and regular contributor on NBC2 News, and himself is a writer, filmmaker, producer, and actor. Eric Raddatz, welcome back to the show.
Hey, John. It's great to be here.
And joining us by phone is filmmaker and screenwriter Katie Curran, whose film about school bullying and gun violence, Surviving Lunch, will be featured at the festival. Thank you so much for being with us as well, Katie. Great to speak with you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Mike. Thank you. And hello, Eric.
Hey, Katie.
And listeners can join our conversation as well. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Eric, the film festival has been around for nearly a decade now, and it's become a staple event for many of us here in Southwest Florida. But for someone who's never attended, how would you describe it? How would you pitch it to them?
Well, everyone likes to see films, and think of how you watch films now. What type of films do you enjoy? Do you enjoy going out to the movie theater to see blockbuster films? Do you love sitting back and watching Netflix? And then what type of films do you enjoy? The film festival manages to get – we have 89 films this year that we're screening in over 5 days in 8 locations. These are all films that aren't in submission, so basically you can't see them anywhere else. I would start there. Secondly, they're independent, which means they're not big blockbuster box office necessarily big money-making films, but they're films who have a purpose, who have a mission, who have something to say. So if you enjoy watching a film that has a real authenticity, something a movie that will make a difference, a movie that may get you to think. Basically, if you're the type of person that walks around thinking, you know, I feel like there's no one intelligent around me and there's not enough intelligent books or movies or film out there for me to really enjoy, this is one way to satisfy your what you need. And that's at the Independent Film Festival, which is screening all these films that you can't see anywhere else, various different subject matter. From jazz documentaries to other films that deal with the features, short film, international films, romantic comedies, some horrific films, and all kinds of good films. So if you want to see essentially some of the greatest films that are not in distribution right now that will eventually be in distribution, and you love independent films, films with meaning and purpose, then you will enjoy coming out to a film festival. The Fort Myers Film Festival.
Yeah, I mean, there's films in past years that have gone on to win major awards. But before that, you were showing them here at the Fort Myers Film Festival.
Yeah,
like The Cove is just the one that comes to mind.
Right, or RGB. Last year, we screened in advance of the Magnolia Pictures public, and so people would say, "I saw that film at the Fort Myers Film Festival in advance of some of the bigger distribution companies." And also, the film festival offers an opportunity to find a lot of like-minded people who enjoy independent cinema. So you're meeting interesting people, you're meeting smart people, you're meeting people who have purpose and who are filmmakers themselves, not just local filmmakers from Southwest Florida, but filmmakers from all over the world. And every year we seem to get more and more filmmakers who say, we prefer the Fort Myers Film Festival. So the filmmakers are going to be able to talk to you about their film after you see it.
That's really amazing. And we've got one of those filmmakers on the line right now. I think that's a pretty good segue. So let's go ahead and bring Katie in here. And your film, Surviving Lunch, if I understand correctly, is actually going to premiere at the Sarasota Film Festival before it comes down here to Fort Myers. And I got to watch most of the film last night. And it's really, really a moving story. And I think it's easy to understand what motivated you to want to tackle this particular issue with school bullying and gun violence with everything that's going on. But I also understand that very early on in production, when you were casting, I believe, is when the mass high school shooting in Parkland occurred.
Yes.
I mean, can you take us back to that day for you? I mean, did you know immediately that you were going to be incorporating that tragic event into the film?
Not at all. In fact, you know, we all have been so heartbroken over this gun violence in our schools across America. And, you know, each time a child is harmed or even bullied, but definitely harmed or killed by gun violence, I think it hits all of us at a very deep level. But when it strikes close to your community, it has a reverberation that shakes you to the core. And I know that we had started making this film about school bullying and gun violence. And when that happened, I was going into the schools, talking to resource officers, talking to kids, talking to administration about our locations and pre-production. And at the same time, the schools were changing security operations in the schools, closing off entrances, adding bulletproof glass, going to Tallahassee to be on task forces, debating whether or not teachers should be armed. I was having conversations with young people that were telling me that their teachers were discussing with them actively what to do if there was a school shooter in their school. And one teacher told their students to pick up things and throw them, you know, at the person at the door or things like that, or to climb out the window and run as fast as they could and swim across the lake. And these kids were talking to me with a real anxiety and terror at the same time that I was casting the movie. And so, and then it continued throughout the year. In fact, the year we made the film, 2018, was the worst year on record for school gun violence. Yeah. And so it was impossible to not be acutely aware of the importance of what we were doing and also the sensitivity of what we were doing. And I actually have a very close friend who is substitute teaching at Marjory Stoneman Douglas, and she's coming to our premiere on Tuesday. And she had posted from her hiding place on Facebook that there was an active shooter situation. And I just said, wait, what? You know, I was scrolling my Facebook feed and, you know, and this has continued throughout our community, people's loved ones. A friend of mine's sister, her son was trapped in the school. Two of the students who were at the school sang a beautiful song, Shine, that plays at the end of our film during our closing credits. And each time I hear them sing, it's a song about hope. It's a song about rising above. And it's a song about using art to make a difference. And so I feel that's what we're trying to do with our film, is to stand up against bullying and be an advocate for mental health and services for our young people who we all have seen this. Even I think as adults, there's an increase in anxiety across our country. And I think it's up to every American to do their part, to be civil, to have kind conversations, to stand up to bullying behavior, and to show our children the behavior that we want to see from them.
Yeah. Well said. I'm curious because there's one particular scene in the film. I mean, first, like there, I think when the protagonist, it's one of her first days of school after she's transferred from New York to Florida, and that's when the Parkland shooting occurs. They're watching it on the news. The next day in school, there's a scene where they're in a classroom and the teacher asks the students, like, how many of you were afraid to come in here today? And then actually gives them a homework assignment related to, like, what should we do to make our schools safer? Was that part of the original dialogue, or was that one of those things that you changed?
That's such a good question. Thank you so much. The teacher in that scene is played by Dominic Harris, who is an actual police officer. Hmm. And I just found him so charismatic and such an advocate for youth in our community. He's a real community hero. And so I pretty much begged him to play the part of the teacher in our film. I just had an instinct that it would make a profound difference, because not only are we making films, but we're also trying to evoke change and get kids talking about issues that concern their lives. And he came to me and with tears in his eyes as a police officer and said that is a conversation he was having at school that morning. He asked, he would go from classroom to classroom after the Parkland shooting, and he said, how many of you were afraid to come to school today? And they all would raise their hand. And he was just having these, and so I said, we've got to put that in the film. And so in between shooting takes or filming takes, I say filming rather than shooting, in between filming, he would talk to the other actors and talk to them about the realities, about what they were feeling, about gun violence, about what to do, and about how to report. And it was just an extraordinarily moving situation for me to direct and to be able to witness Dominic working with the students. And it was also very powerful and healing, because they could take that anxiety and put it into a work of art that they felt will hopefully make a difference for other students.
And KT, will you be attending the Fort Myers Film Festival for the screening here?
Absolutely. In fact, I am so thrilled to be a part of the Fort Myers Film Festival. Ever since I met Eric, I have never really seen such a welcome from a film festival. Like Eric was saying at the beginning of this radio interview, how they want to showcase indie films, but they also really support indie filmmakers in such a way. They highlight the work, they honor the work, and I just couldn't be more grateful to the Fort Myers Film Festival and the community of Fort Myers for the tremendously warm outreach. In fact, I have already met another filmmaker from Los Angeles, Mariah Pider, who has a film showing in the Fort Myers Film Festival on the same day. And we are also in a film festival in Los Angeles together later this month at the Artemis Film Festival. And so Mariah and I met through Fort Myers Film Festival, and we're going to see each other's films and have become supporters of each other's work. And that's something that filmmakers can do at the Fort Myers Film Festival, is meet each other and share the work process, and as we also interact with the audiences.
Right. And, you know, Eric, KT's film was, you know, a lot of it was shot in the Sarasota area. Film students from the Ringling College of Art and Design, as well as New College of Florida, were involved. I'm wondering if in the vetting process, you maybe kind of give more weight to films that are Florida-based or that were shot here or from Florida filmmakers, because I know you get submissions from all over the world.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times we absolutely look for local filmmakers, because we want everyone here in Southwest Florida to know there's an outlet and there's opportunity. And a lot of our filmmakers who have submitted, we take extra special care to find opportunities. Now, not all of them get screened. We do have so many submissions now where we do have to say no. KT's is the type of film that comes along only once in a while, though. And especially at this time, it's right to play this type of film as we have a conversation about safety with our children in our schools in this nation. It was more than just that it was shot here, but it was that it is so profoundly moving and so absolutely important to screen. And that's one of only 89 films. She mentioned she met a filmmaker through the film festival, and there's probably a couple of dozen of filmmakers that are going to be here in Fort Myers celebrating in Fort Myers, Florida, during this fest. And they have similar types of messages on different levels. Marcos doesn't live here anymore, on immigration. Is one where I could go on and on. I'm not sure if you want short synopsis or if I should just let you direct me. But it's just one where it talks about immigration and how it you know, political decisions that are made have repercussions in a good and a bad way. And the separation of families because of deportation from a family who's a decorated person who served in the military, who had to be displaced from their families. You know, it's just one. But then we have have Fly Like a Girl, who takes a look at how what 3% of pilots are female. Well, why is that? And it takes a look at young women, and a filmmaker looks at those who are trying to change those statistics. Mm-hmm. So that's just another one. But you know, and we could go on. Post-traumatic stress disorder, dealing with schizophrenia. There's films that take a look at this jazz musician Leroy Jones, and there's also very some dark ones too, historical Florida documentaries. And KT's is one that does rise up, and I'm so excited to screen that here. But we're looking at a whole bunch that are a lot like that, where when you go out, you're going to think a little bit about – you'll be thinking profoundly of many of the films that are screening this year's Film Festival.
Let's go back to Leroy Jones for a moment, because Cameron Washington's documentary, A Man and His Trumpet, Leroy Jones' Story, that's going to be the opening night gala. That's opening up the whole festival.
Yes, and we've this is our ninth year, and rolling out the red carpet in Southwest Florida to screen an independent film and to have a party afterwards has been very exciting for the community.
I don't have enough excuses to wear a tux. So
well, you don't. Perfect. Well, you know, our theme this year is be you. So if you don't want to wear a tux, there's no obligation.
Okay,
you can come as you are. It is a chance to dress up, and we know that there are a lot of lots of fun that come with dressing up. But Leroy Jones I first heard him play with Harry Connick Jr. back in the 90s when I lived in Chicago. And he was on the soundtrack of Red Light, Blue Light, and on the When Harry Met Sally soundtrack. And he was Harry Connick Jr.'s go-to trumpet lead for over 25 years. Yeah. And growing up in New Orleans, you know, the Harry Connick Jr. story, well, he says that Leroy Jones is kind of like if you invite LeBron James on your team, you know it's going to be a winning team. And the fact that the story goes into his upbringing, how he pretty much came from just a kid on the streets who wanted to play trumpet to one of the most masterfully celebrated jazz musicians, trumpeters of all time. Not just are we playing the documentary, but he's flying in from New Orleans. He's going to be there that night with a bunch of other jazz greats in town, Lou Delgado, who played on Saturday Night Live, Dan Miller, and a few others. So think red carpet, gala, celebration, all the great documentary, all the celebrated filmmakers from all over the world at this great documentary about Leroy Jones.
Excellent. And we are coming up towards the end of the hour, but briefly, just some housekeeping here. As much as folks would like to, not everybody can put aside 5 days to attend everything. How can folks participate? I guess because there's a number of different ticket purchase options that folks have.
Go to FortMyersFilmFestival.com. There's 89 films, but you don't have to see them all. You can see just one or two. Most of them are at the Sidney Byrne Davis Arts Center, but we're at the Broadway Palm Dinner Theater. We're at the Alliance for the Arts, IMAG, and the Edison Ford Winter Estates. And we're also screening downtown. And so just download the guide or pick up a guide in various locations. Look at what films you might be inclined to. Though you heard about Surviving Lunch that plays Saturday, April 13th at the Sidney Byrne Davis Arts Center at 8 p.m. But there's blocks of films. There's blocks of shorts. If you're not sure what to do, just pick out a block of short films because you're getting more bang for your buck there.
Yeah.
But essentially, you can buy tickets online or you can just go to each location and buy tickets the day of. But I would recommend that you take the entire week off of work and skip school to enjoy the Fort Myers Film Festival. It will change your life and it will be the best week you've enjoyed the entire year.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show, but I want to thank my guests. We've been speaking with Sarasota native filmmaker and screenwriter KT Curran. Her film Surviving Lunch premieres next week at the Sarasota Film Festival before coming down here to Fort Myers for the Fort Myers Film Festival. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, John.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. And lovely to talk with you, Eric.
Good to see you, KT.
It's also thanks to Eric Raddatz, the founder and executive director of the Fort Myers Film Festival. Always good to connect with you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, John.
And once again, to learn more and find out how you can attend, visit FortMyersFilmFestival.com. If you tuned in during our show today and would like to hear it in its entirety, you can tune in tonight at 9 after Radio Lab to hear an encore broadcast, or you can always hear episodes in full on our website, GulfCoastLive.org. Our program today was produced by Mike Canary and yours truly. Our director is Richard Cinque, with social media help from Rachel Iacoboni. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, and PR for Southwest Florida.